I am the royal prophet Isaiah. I am so named because I was of royal blood. Uzziah, the great king of Judah, he was my cousin. His father, Amaziah, and my father, Amos, they were brothers. Now, does it seem strange to you that a man of royal blood, who perhaps could have been a king of Judah, would be a prophet? I saw so many visions of the Christ that some of your modern commentaries insist that much of my book had to be written after the time of Christ. They say that no one, simply no one, could have seen what I saw of the Christ unless I was there in person to see it. Now, those commentators received quite a shock, and I had quite a laugh, when in 1947 a scroll was found that had been put into a pottery vessel filled with pitch. Now, that scroll found near the Dead Sea contained my entire prophecy. That scroll, 24 feet long or so, was written well before the time of Christ. Yes, I did see it all before it happened. And I pray that that comforts you and assures you that it was the Lord who showed me everything, and that the Christ whom you worship is the Savior of the world. Now, I'm anxious to tell you my story. You see, when my cousin King Uzziah was king in Judah, he was a great king. But one day, he became very proud. He became proud of his successes and took credit for things that the Lord had done for him. He went into the temple in that weak moment, and he stretched out his hand, and he did what only a priest was allowed to do. Now, the Lord has always assigned jobs to different people, and each was to do his own job. The king was to be king, the priest to be priest, and neither was to interfere with the job of the other. My cousin Uzziah was given great success as a king, but he became proud. So proud, in fact, that he thought he had the right to function also as a priest. And he felt, though, because of the successes that the Lord had given to him, that he had earned the right to take unto himself the task of doing sacred things that the priests alone were consecrated to do. While he was in the temple performing these priestly duties, he was struck with leprosy. And shortly after that, he died. I had a difficult time with that. I thought that my world had ended. See, Uzziah was not only my cousin, but he really was my very good friend. And after he died, I went into the temple. I went in there not to carry out the priestly functions, but simply to pray. And while I was there, I saw the Lord for the very first time. I saw the Lord. I really did. Lifted up, his train filled the temple. And above him stood the seraphim, each having six wings. With two wings, they covered their face. With two wings, they covered their feet. With the remaining two wings, they flew. And one called to the other. He said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." And the foundations of the threshold actually shook. The house was filled with smoke. You can imagine how I felt. I felt as if I would die. I felt unclean. Simply unclean. I felt that I was living with people who also were unclean. I just thought I would die. Then one of the seraphim took tongs and he went to the altar. He went to the altar in the temple and he took a piece of burning coal from that altar and he touched my lips with it. And he said to me, "Your lips are clean." And then he who sat on the throne said, "I have a message to give to the people. Whom shall I send?" And I said, "Here I am. Send me." Strange how my life changed from that moment. See, before this time, I would look around and I would see things going bad. I would say to myself, why doesn't someone do something about it? And now I realize it was my responsibility to do something myself. It was me to whom the responsibility had been given. Everything was just very different now. I'll never forget how I felt when I saw the Lord the first time, how unclean I felt, how unworthy. But then how clean I felt when the Lord told me that I was clean. I'll never forget that. All those visions I saw of the Christ made me feel the same way. So many of these visions that I had of the Christ, they were inserted into other visions about my nation and world events. You see, it was as if the Lord was saying that when the Messiah comes, he will come right in the middle of the great world events, and that he would deal with the problems of the world right in the middle of the common events of mankind. There was that day, for instance, when my king, King Ahaz, had lost heart. You see, at that time, Syria was attacking Judah. And they had joined forces with Israel. And King Ahaz couldn't see how we could ever survive those enemies together. And I said to him, "Don't worry, the Lord will save us." But he couldn't believe me. So I said to him, I'll show you a sign. The Lord will show you any sign you wish. Just name it. And the Lord will show that sign to prove to you that Syria and Israel will not conquer you. But he was shy. He didn't want the Lord to show him a sign. And I said to him again, the Lord has said he will give you any sign you wish, even if it is as deep as hell. But he didn't want to put the Lord to the test. So I said to him, that the Lord would give him a sign anyway. "Behold," I said, "a virgin will conceive and bear a son, and he will call his name Emmanuel," which means God with us. And there Christ was introduced. Now, another time the Lord told me what was going to happen. "These people of mine," he said, "these people of mine are terribly rebellious. Do not be like them. They're unfaithful. They're going to false gods everywhere. They're consulting mediums and witches. They're consulting false prophets. They don't call upon me. And for that reason," he told me, "they would look everywhere for help when destruction comes to them, but they will not be able to find it. They'll turn their faces upward and from this side of the earth to that side of the earth, but behold, all will be darkness to them." And then he said this great thing to me. He said, "These people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. For unto us a child is born, to us A son is given, and the government will be on his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And of the increase of his government and of peace, there'll be no end. Upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. But I have to tell you, I always wondered how. How would he do it? How could he save these people? And what was the comfort that I could give them? They'd be so hard to save. How could he save them? Then he showed me. He actually showed me. I could hardly believe it. I couldn't make anyone in my day believe it. But I saw how he was going to do it. He was going to send his promised Messiah into the world as a servant. The Lord himself would come to save them. The son of David, who was to be such a great king, a king greater than David, he was to be a servant and a suffering one at that. And I thought, who would believe our report? I was astonished. The heavens were astonished. The Lord bared his arm and was going to act. He would make known his works to all the nations. And he said to me, "Watchmen, lift up your voice and tell them that the Lord will act." And I thought, how beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him who brings good tidings, who publishes peace. But who would believe our report? To whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? I saw this one. I saw the Lord himself grow up before us like a tender plant and like a root out of dry ground. He had no form or comeliness that we should look at him, and no beauty that we should desire him. I saw that he would be despised. He'd be rejected by men. A man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. As I watched him in my vision, I knew why he said he would startle the nations when he acts. For as I looked at God himself here on earth and what he bore, I hid, as it were, my face from him. His appearance was so marred beyond human semblance as he would suffer. And I began to understand why he said the kings shall stop their mouths at it. I saw him oppressed and afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. Like a sheep before its shearer is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. He was like a lamb led to slaughter. I saw the Lord stricken, smitten, afflicted. Although there was no deceit in his mouth, he had done no violence. He was cut off from the land of the living. I could hardly bear that vision. I wanted to escape that scene until I suddenly discovered that it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He, the Lord, had put him to grief, for he had become the offering for sin. Be astounded, O heavens. Be confounded, O nations. Be confused, O rulers. The Lord has found a way to save his people. He shall see the affliction of his servant, and he shall see the travail of his soul, and the Lord shall be satisfied. The Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Surely he has borne our griefs, and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. Upon him was a chastisement that made us whole. And with his stripes, we are healed. And then I saw him dead. I saw the Lord dead. They made his grave with the wicked and with the rich man in his death. Although there was no deceit in his mouth and he had done no violence, I saw the Lord high and lifted up on a cross. And I saw the Lord lowered from the cross and put in the grave. No wonder we hid our faces from him. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. And by his stripes we are healed. Who would believe it? That is why I could say, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And he who has no money, come, buy, and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money, without price. It's free, this peace with God. Why do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which does not satisfy? Hearken diligently to me, and eat what is good, and delight yourselves in fatness. Incline your ear and come. Hear that your soul may live. The Lord has found a way to save his people. Jesus, the suffering servant, was bruised and wounded and whipped and lifted up from the earth on a cross for you, for me. All of that to cancel our sin. All of that to make us whole and to give us healing. Because the servant Jesus removed every obstacle between you and your Father in heaven. Who has believed our report? Who would believe such a thing? Do you?